Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand. All your favorite letters. CFL, NHL, NBA, MLB, NFL. All on the RPS. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Thank you very much, Rick Regan. Happy Friday, Canada, and to Canadian sports fans around the world. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this Friday, February the 21st. It's episode number 182 of Canada's only live morning sports talk show. I'm your host, Rod Peterson. He's the co-host, Darren DuPont. Hi, Dupes.
Hi, good morning.
I'm Howard. He's Robin. And he's John Frenzy in the bunker over there. How are you, Frenzy?
I am great, Rob. Just great.
Good. You are worrying me a little this morning, so...
Why am I worrying you?
All kinds of things.
Like what? You know, I can't understand the playoff.
Well, that's part of it.
I don't say I can't understand it. It just doesn't seem to be that smart.
Well, John Lynch, this is his kind of day, everybody. As much as we like to brag and promote the fact that we're a national show, worldwide, as a matter of fact, let's get right down to it. 80 to 85% of our viewers are in Saskatchewan. And Lynch, for quite some time, has been saying, when are we doing rider shows? When are we doing rider shows? We got to do rider shows. So we're going to do a lot of a rider show today. And that's led to our Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question, which I'll get to in a minute. But part of the reason Lynch is worrying me, no different than any other day, but he saw the guest board here, which includes Keon Raymond. And Lynch said, Keon Raymond, hell of a hockey player.
I said that for your benefit.
Oh, sure. And then we had a very tough time explaining this new proposed CFL playoff format to Lynch until our sales manager, Tyler Gross, put it on paper, right? Then it made a lot more sense.
Made a lot more sense. It's still quite odd.
Right. In your defense, you had to see it, and I get it. I kind of had to, too.
That's it. I mean, you know, stats, you know, you want to go, you know, big on that. You want to try and explain things like a playoff bracket. You got to have some visuals to go with it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard, right? Unless you're really great at explaining it.
Right. And other than that, John found out, overheard a conversation that I'm going to Mexico tomorrow. And it's, who's picking me up next Friday? Who are you going to be around? It's a week away, John. Just hang on. Can we get through the next 2 hours? Hence why we call him John Frenzy. But it's Football Fridays on the program today. We got a big show. Darren, you're only going to be with us for the rollout for Flooring Superstores. So it'll be a good time, not a long time, with you today.
Yeah.
Former CFL Commissioner Mark Cohan is going to be on the program today. I'm very excited to have Mark Cohan on. Big fan. I think you guys are too.
Oh, yeah. Great guy.
And it spawned one of the topics in my Quick Six show topics that I'll get to in a minute. But Mark Cohan will be on with us. One of the most popular commissioners in CFL history. There are those that say it's Jake Goodard Lynch. And that was before my time. I can't say. Mark Cohan's my favorite.
I'm with you there because it was personality.
Yeah.
And what he did for the league.
He had the Midas touch.
Class guy.
Mark Cohan with us. Kim Murphy, who announced his retirement from the CFL last weekend after 486 games, 26 seasons, and 9 Grey Cups. Kim Murphy's going to be on. And you know who's got the best stories? Ref stories.
Yeah, that's right.
Ref story. I learned that from Mickey Magoo. God bless them. They got the best stories. And I would think they're not a lot different from pro football to pro hockey. Would you think? Just the names would change.
I can't imagine. They'd be similar, for sure.
Keon, very interesting, though. Hey, particularly with NFL now, eh?
How so?
Well, with the girls, the ladies. The ladies. The lady refereed every game now.
You can ask Kim Murphy his thoughts on that. So that'll be good. And Keon Raymond, who will be running for the presidency of the CFL Players Association here in 2020, he's going to be joining us from Calgary. I'm looking forward to that. So I mentioned the poll question. It is for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. So you rider fans can get your rider on. And it's an interesting discussion. My question is, how have the Rough Riders done in free agency? Your options are thumbs up, thumbs down, or too soon to tell? Lynch, what would you vote?
Thumbs up.
Darren?
Thumbs up.
Very well.
I would vote thumbs up, too. But it's what's interesting, leading the poll right now with 42% of the vote is too soon to tell. Those are the learned football people and also probably fans of other teams.
Yeah.
39% are saying thumbs up, and just 19% trailing the poll are saying thumbs down. And what's interesting about that is the negative Nelsons, as John Lynch would say, the photography experts, because they're experts on negatives, are giving the riders the thumbs down.
But they always do, those guys.
But they always do. But they tend to suck you in. You know what I mean? And it makes you think that everybody thinks that.
Yes.
But they have for 30 years thought that way. And they talk all the time about all the winter. You can see them. They tell you about all the negative things the riders are doing. And some of them now don't even go to the games.
Oh, I know that too. But you think it's only been 30 years? I think it's generations of this. Wow. At least 50 years.
Yeah, it could be.
Of the negative Nelsons. But
I mean, you know me, 48-108, numbers I'd hate. Four Grey Cups, eight first place finishes. And 108 years. Not too good, eh?
Not too good.
No.
So, anyways, that's the poll question today. Vote on how the Riders did in free agency. We'll get to that. And we take any of your suggestions as we roll along today. We've got a few bugs, Clark tells me, in the video system here. So we're not getting the comments on the wall. I am getting them on my laptop here. So I'll sprinkle them in as much as I can. Darnell Theris, for instance, writing from Saskatoon. Happy Friday from Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. Happy Friday, Darnell. That's a ring of the bell. Sponsor guy there. And I got to keep him happy. Oh, and I got Trent writing in. Very good over here, Clark. I got these right in front of me. Trent from Norway, congratulations to Mr. Murphy on his retirement. I hope the Rush win in Philadelphia this weekend. Thumbs up to the Riders on free agency. And go, Silvernagel. Again, Trent in Norway signing in. Our quick six show topics. Number one, big win for Vegas last night. Really big win.
I was watching.
It really doesn't take long to change people's minds. I got people texting me, hey, the Knights won. Great game. Didn't you say you watched it, Lynch? I didn't see it. What was I doing last night?
They played a great game last night, and a big crowd there going nuts. I mean, I thought it must be a heck of a show to see down there.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny. I was watching the game last night. Caught the last, you know, half of it or whatever, and then we're watching, and Steven Stamkos scores on his, you know, signature one-timer on the power play from the face-off circle. But then right away, Mark Stone, like less than a minute later, scores. Then they get two goals inside a minute to start the third period. The place was rocking, and I tweeted it, and I said, and this is true, I love hockey, and hockey is so good when the stars are rolling. When you got Stamkos taking one shot at one end, and then here comes Mark Stone the other way to take the lead back, that's when the game is fun. And then our friend Rob Fry, the super agent, he's messaging me. He's like, you're at the game? He's like, where are you? We got to meet up. I'm like, no, I'm not at the game. It's easy, but everybody's enjoying Vegas now. It seems like when you go, now everybody else wants to go to Vegas and go to the games, and so he's there. And
awesome.
It was cool.
What's going to happen now when John Gruden comes to down with the Raiders? How is that going to affect hockey?
Let's move on to point two. We'll get to that, John, but it's not time.
All right.
Huge win for the Jets last night, by the way. Mark, that's the game I watched. Mark Scheifele had a hat trick. I didn't know the Golden Knights game was even on.
You know.
And as people from Winnipeg were saying, my Winnipeg friends, yes, I have them, Winnipeg friends. John doesn't, but they said a lot of hats on the ice for a road game. Well, it is a government town. A lot of Winnipeg people in Ottawa cheering for the Jets would be my suggestion on that. Big win for the Winnipeg Jets last night, opening a four-game roadie in the nation's capital. Point three, we'll get to a little more XFL tech. John, I'm sure you've got thoughts on the XFL. Four, in light of the Cohan interview, how is Randy Ambrosi doing? Let's just drop anchor on that boat for a second. Spend some time on it. I think he's doing great. I don't think we can underestimate the perils this league faced when Randy Ambrosi took over. So the fact the league's even still here is a win. And what did I say? His first job was saving the league. His second job's growing the league.
Mm-hmm.
No, first job saving the league. Second job stabilizing the league. Third job growing the league. And I think he's on to the third job. So I'm giving him a thumbs up.
You got to get water out of the boat. Then you got to repair
the hole,
and then you got to get moving.
Thank you.
Right? He's got to, I think, come through with Halifax to really get my thumbs up completely. I like what he's doing. He's trying hard. But to really do something big, He's got to get that Halifax franchise in. And I don't know what's going to happen there.
It would be a nice legacy, wouldn't it, for him?
It would be a great legacy for him. A great legacy. Now, they're going down there, both teams, the Argos and the Riders, July 25th. They're going down 3 or 4 days earlier. I guess the whole team's going down. And the guys are going to walk around town in Halifax talking about the game and trying to talk to Halifaxians and see how enthused they are. But they're going to, the CFL is going to go down there and really help them support that team. So let's get down there and see what happens. But that's going to be the real litmus test. Eh? I mean, how that game goes. If there's only 10,000 fans there,
well, that's capacity crowd.
Yeah, it is.
10,000, not that hard to fill.
No.
But City Council in Halifax, and I know you're reading the newspaper articles just like I am, are now balking at the CFL asking for $200,000 to help stage this event. And frankly, so am I. I'm sorry, I just got to say it. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you had thoughts on that, Lynch. Go ahead.
Well, I think that it's come to the point where they got to do it or get off the pot. I mean, I don't think, you know, they get down, they forget about it, then something like this comes up. Now it looks like they want us to help them finance it. Everybody help them finance it. Make it a big day. Well, what's going on? They don't have the money? If they don't have the money to put up a decent stadium, only a 12,000-seat stadium, and chairs on the other side of the field, I don't think so, guys. They got to do it right. 25,000 or not at all. And I just wish Irving Oil and McCain Foods would get involved. Big citizens, corporate citizens in Canada, two of the leading companies in the country, would come in and throw a couple of million in there. Don't laugh at me.
I'm not laughing. I know a guy in New Brunswick that said the New Brunswick government goes to the Irving family for a loan. That much money they have. And they dictate what goes on in New Brunswick. And
right.
You know how the Maritimes roll as those three maritime provinces. So it is time. But we're all just sitting back and watching because I don't think we can really affect things. But asking for money to host this game is just not a step in the right direction.
And you know what? I'm pretty sure of this. Halifax this year has got a team in the same league as the Rush, don't they?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're willing to take new teams. They're willing to explore different endeavors.
And it's going gangbusters.
It's going gangbusters, going in the rink. I mean, look what's good. I'd love to go down there myself and talk to some of these people. But you were there. What feeling did you get about it?
In Halifax?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't in Halifax. I was in Moncton and all over New Brunswick. They were lukewarm to the idea. Lukewarm. They're not like, it's funny because Neil Shuchuk is watching in Whitecourt, Alberta. He says the Halifax Schooners, better than the Las Vegas Posse, LOL. Funny how if you want to compare markets, Las Vegas, and you said how will it go with Chucky. So let's go down that road with John Gruden. After having been all over the valley last weekend, there's room enough for everybody in Las Vegas.
Did you see the rink?
City of 2 million people. I've saw everything. And they've been waiting decades to be thought of as a big-time sports town. You've been to Las Vegas. You understand that it's never been thought of as a big-time sports town.
Right.
It's been thought of as a college sports town.
That's right.
Now they're big-time. They got 2 million people. They got NHL. They're going to have AHL. And they're going to have NFL. And it would appear there's room for all of them.
Now they tell
me. But they've been rabid for it for decades. Halifax has not. That's my point.
Right on.
They could care less about the CFL.
That's right. So why?
That's the difference.
Why do our good friend Gary Drummond feel it's a real good move to go down there? And Gary's a sharp guy, as you know.
I think they saw it as unmarked territory that, you know. What is going off? Dinging. Driving me nuts.
Is it me?
Is it your pacemaker?
See you?
No.
Anyways, they just don't.
My pacemaker's off.
I hope not.
The CFL wants Halifax.
I know.
The Halifax doesn't want the CFL.
That's
okay?
Right.
I'm sorry to say. That's the feeling that I get.
But it's more than just putting in a football team and creating football fans. You got to create that culture of the event and of the whole idea. Like Vegas, maybe hasn't been thought of as a sports town. But they're an events town, and they get all the biggest events, sporting events, all the biggest fights. So they will go. And I think, you know, football games in Vegas will be events. Hockey games in Vegas are events. Rush games in Saskatoon are events. And Saskatoon's a great events town, right? You can build a sports town over time, but you have to make this Atlantic Schooners an event that captures everybody.
Yeah.
Don't expect them to come in and be diehard sports fans right away. They might be, but if they're not, create a great event and build sports fans throughout your time there.
Tyler Daku watching, he says the NLL would absolutely go gangbusters in Vegas. No, Yeah, they will. They just had a neutral site game there between Colorado and San Diego. And from what I understand, that MGM Resort Group, which owns all the hotels around the arena, plus the Golden Knights, have applied for an expansion franchise for the NLL.
Now, that's so a great story. Why are all these years, these hundreds of years, Vegas never had a big-time sports team? I can't.
Because of the shady nature of the town, the betting nature of the town.
The leagues are...
The threat... The leagues have been very worried about going in there.
Yeah.
Why did they change?
Good question.
Well, Vegas, the football stadium, I understand, has 60,000 seats, which I think is small. They're sold out.
Every seat for the year.
For 60,000. I thought they have 80,000 for sure.
I'd have to Google it. Allegiant Stadium. But anyways, we're getting a little off topic. But the NLL, Vegas, they're just boom, 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 boom. They move fast. And the CFL, like I saw a quote from Randy Ambrosi yesterday. Must have been that Hamilton radio interview where they said, oh, how are you feeling about Halifax? He goes, well, we're getting close to the goal line, but until we score a touchdown, we won't know. He's been saying that for 18 months. Like, I'm sorry, I'm on Team Ambrosi. You got to get moving here. Like, it's...
Very frustrating. It's a joke. How about the word frustrating is the way to describe it?
How frustrated do you think they are?
Oh, they must be.
Man, it's the people of Halifax that just don't seem that interested in it, and there's nothing that we can sit here and do ourselves.
Yeah,
but watch the situation. Moving on, point five, you know, where's Naaman Roosevelt going to sign? Where's Darrell Walker going to sign? Frenzy, what are your sources across the CFL saying about this raft of CFL free agents and big names that haven't signed yet?
Yeah, well, the president, Roosevelt, probably signed in Toronto, I understand. Who's the other guy said? Walker? Darrell Walker. The Bombers are after him, eh? But when Blue Bombers really want to pull the money out and get them, that would really help their receiving core. Eh? Not that there's anything wrong with it now. That's what they're doing when the XFL is still raiding, coming after players.
It's been really quiet on Darrell Walker to BC.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't know if the book has been closed on that officially or not, but there was so much talk about, you know, reuniting him with Mike Riley, right, where they had so much success in Edmonton. But it seems to have gone really quiet. And, you know, even the football people that I talk to, it's not a lot of money around. And you look at the guys who went to the XFL, they're just not being offered the money that they need or that they want, right? Or that they feel that they're worth. So
it's
a bit of the game of chicken. Who's going to move off their number first?
Yeah.
I don't want President Roosevelt leaving town. We can use him still. He had a big
year. Too late.
And that's year last year.
One thing fans are upset about is that the Riders are moving on from him. By the way, Nelson Hackowich writing in on the Facebook wall. Thank you, Nelson. He says, the leagues changed their minds when sports betting laws were relaxed across the country. Now they want to be in and partner with Vegas casinos.
Oh, that's good.
Which they are, because I was just there in pretty much every hotel and casino from Old Vegas to New Vegas, and you see the team ads everywhere.
But they're letting,
so it's a big change.
Yeah, but they did it in a way that they let the DraftKings and they let the sports books in Vegas continue to grow, and they let these guys, you know, put sports gambling into the world and really grow it and experiment and where's it going. And they didn't have to attach their name to it officially.
No,
so they could let them play with it. They could experiment with how this is going to work, how it's going to change the game. Is it going to affect things? Are the players going to get involved? All those types of things that the league might be worried about. Now they've seen this for a number of years and be like, okay, it's time for us to embrace it and head into that city.
Now, let me ask you this, guys. If the Golden Knights hadn't been so successful in the first 3 years, hadn't been a success at all, what would have happened? Would these fans still go because it's hockey? Or is it just a real fluke that they are so sensational?
Well, A, it's not a fluke. B, it doesn't matter what could have happened because it didn't happen.
Right.
They've been one of the top teams in the NHL for their first 3 years because they know what they're doing.
Yep.
On the hockey side, those are all our friends that we've been discussing for the last several days. Yep. On the marketing side, clearly they know what they're doing. The question now is, if they do start to lose, it's like the Saskatchewan Rush, who's been in the league final 3 years since they moved from Edmonton. What's going to happen if they start losing? Well, that hasn't happened yet.
No.
So we'll find out if and when that happens, or when the Raiders kick off in September, is that going to hurt the Golden Knights? Listen, again, I was just there deep inside the Golden Knights organization. Everybody is talking about it and wondering, but nobody knows, and they won't know until it happens. Anyways, my sixth point of the quick six show topics was curling buzz, but we're out of time. We'll get to that, okay? because you really got the curling community going.
Yeah.
Stirring it up.
I'll be back.
In a good way. Yeah, you're taking off. You got a meeting. Nick Lewis will be in the bunker next, and we've got Mark Cohan lined up and ready to go on video chat right after this break. It's a Football Friday, Friday morning. Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Lincoln. Trade up on a brand new 2019 F-150 Super Crew 4x4. They're starting at just $34,999 plus tax. That's savings up to 30% off. Plus, get 19% off all remaining new 2019 Ford Escapes. 4x4s are starting as low as $25,999 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's 2019 number one Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
There you go. You see, for those viewers not listening online but watching, I'm missing Big Bird. How about you, Frenzy? Are you,
yeah,
missing the Jeep?
My wife was asking me, we're going to Big Bird today. I said, no way, we didn't go crazy. And the garbage truck went by.
It's almost getting to Jeep weather.
Look at the big garbage truck.
Almost getting to Jeep weather. That Lynch and I will be coming up here on Friday mornings in Big Bird. My 1975 Jeep CJ. Sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Manitoba, Ontario, and the Jennifer Jones wildcard team have all secured playoff berths at the Scotties Tournament of Hearts in Moose Jaw. Manitoba Carrie Einerson, Ontario's Rachel Holman, and six-time champion Jones each earned two wins apiece on the first day of the championship round to go to 8-1, but Saskatchewan's Robin Silvernagel still hanging in. Alec Martinez had a goal and an assist in his Vegas debut, and the Golden Knights stopped Tampa Bay's 11-game win streak with a 5-3 victory over the Lightning. Martinez was acquired in a trade with the LA Kings on Wednesday. Next game, he was the first star of the game. He tied the game late in the first period. Ryan Reeves, by the way, son of Rough Riders DN Jordan Reeves, scored the game winner in the third for the Knights. A much better showing for the Maple Leafs against Pittsburgh. Jake Muzzin had a goal and two assists, and Frederick Anderson made 24 saves for his second shutout of the season as Toronto blanked the Penguins 4-0 on home ice. Alex Ovechkin inched closer to 700 career goals in Washington's 4-3 overtime loss to the Montreal Canadiens. He found the back of the net in the first period for his 699th goal. Mark Scheifele snapped a 12-game scoring drought in style. He had three power play goals to lift the Jets to a 5-1 win over the over the Ottawa Senators. And I had a golf note. I'll get to that later. Canadian in contention at the Mexican Championship. That is the sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination and the only Regina establishment serving the Pink Whitney vodka. We welcome back Nick Lewis to the show. How you doing, Nick?
I'm good. How you doing?
The receiving king, number 82. Good. We've got Mark Cohan ready to roll, our next guest here on the program today. Let me ask you this. How was Arizona?
It was awesome. It was awesome. Got to go to Grand Canyon and got to see Marte Jenkins, an ex-teammate, and hang out with some old friends, Dr. Troy Sanford, and it was good.
Good.
So, it was great.
Is the Grand Canyon worth going to see?
Yes. Do not take the rim trail that's inside the Grand Canyon and no rails.
Other than that, it's fine.
It's pretty scary going down, but
okay.
You know, you see the kids trekking down, so you have to go too.
Okay. Well, we'll get more into that, and we'll talk about some Arizona stuff. Throw your headphones on if you don't mind, because we're pleased to be going to, I am assuming, Southern Ontario. Mark Cohan joining us, the former commissioner of the Canadian Football League. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Hey, guys, it's been a long time.
Far, far, far too long. And I know this interview had been lined up for some time here. Your TED Talk has come out since, and that's kind of put you in the news, by the way. Can you talk a little bit about how that came about and, you know, what your topics are in it for our viewers that maybe haven't seen it?
Yeah, it was really fun. I was actually flying on a plane back from Ottawa from a meeting, and a woman sitting next to me is involved with TED Talks in Toronto. She said, you know, I recognize you, you're the commish, or yes, people still call me that. And she said, you know, do you give a lot of speeches? I said, sure, I do all across the country. She said, would you like to do a TED Talk in Toronto? And I said, absolutely. Apparently 1,000 people apply, and I didn't apply, and they asked me to do it. So there were about 12 speakers in the day. And I want to really talk about things that are important. I think trust in leadership is important. And I talked a lot about CFL stories. A mistake early on in my days trying to get the Ottawa franchise in with the owners, but really more than ever reflected on, you know, how we built trust with the fans, how we built trust with the players, and some of the stories around that. So the response has been really great to the TED Talk, and it allowed me to really reflect on my days at the CFL, which were awesome.
Yeah, well, we all feel that way. We just talked about you being the most popular commissioner of all time. And with regards to you still being commish, I would still call you commish. I still call Jim Hobson El Presidente. And any president of the United States is always referred to as the president. So I certainly get it, Mark. But, you know, the one thing, you know, Clark sent you the list of questions that we had, and it was nothing hard-hitting. I mean, I always enjoyed visiting with you, and today I want to know, when you think of your time as at the helm of the CFL, what are the best memories of it for you?
Probably finding Nick Lewis, you know.
He deserved it.
I asked him one time, I remember in Moncton, I asked you, could I intern for you? And you were like, sure.
Yeah, well, you should have. You didn't turn out.
I come in turn now.
I own a booze company, so you can come come do some tests.
We'll definitely get along then.
a lot of fun. But if I reflect, I would say probably one of the highlights is bringing Ottawa back and the success that that franchise had, you know, soon after I left, you know, winning a Grey Cup, I think appearing in two Grey Cups in a row. I've been in that town, gone to a few games, and just seeing the fans there. I think that was one. I thought some of the other highlights were around the 100th Grey Cup and really uniting the country. I'm also chairman of the Juno Awards now, and next year is the 50th Juno. So we're going to be doing a lot of things we did around the Grey Cup for the Junos and for music. So, and it was just really working on bringing the pride back into the CFL. So I think Ottawa was a great experience, the 100th Grey Cup, and then just, you know, having some of the stronger financial footing that we were able to put the league in. And then obviously building a lot of those stadiums with the teams was important. So, I think there's a lot of things that the team that I work with have a lot to be proud of.
Go ahead, Frenzy.
John Lynch here. Mark, I thought you're probably the best president, the best commissioner we ever had. So without a doubt, I say that to you. Looking ahead now, Halifax, we talked about it before you came on. We can't seem to get a definite answer what's going on out there. Have you got any thoughts about it or talked to anybody, Ree, whether it's going to be a success or not?
I haven't spoken to Randy about it. Here's what I would say, guys. If you reflect, think how long it took us to get Ottawa back. You know, it ended up, it took 7 years because it was tied up in legal battles between the Glebe and our group who's going to be rebuilding the stadium. So I would say have patience. There hasn't been a team there ever. So Randy seems like he has the right people in place. You know, Mayor Savage, I remember Mayor Savage is a great guy and a great city builder. These things do take time. I just got to make sure that the ownership group and the people there have the resources and the financial resources to really make this happen. You know, the one thing about Ottawa is we had some of the wealthiest Canadians, guys who were city builders, and just got to make sure that the team that ran, and I don't know them, that the team that Randy has in place really have the wherewithal to do this for the next 20, 30, 40 years.
Did you dabble around Halifax at all in your time? Were they even on your radar?
I did. You know, I went out there and met with the mayor. I thought, you know, I always thought that the model for a team out there could be a hybrid between whether, you know, community-owned team like the Riders and some of the wealthy families out there. So could some of the wealthier families seed funded, but then allow shares to be bought like a public franchise? And that was something that I considered. I think the other thing, as they look at the stadium, it's my understanding, is I know they're talking to the Ottawa group as well. You know, can they build something that has that retail component that helps fund the stadium? The biggest issue really is building the stadium. It's not about a franchise fee and getting a team there. It's about having the right facility. That's why I think this takes a long time. And Ottawa took a long time to get our stadium approved and built.
By the way, I think my favorite story, and I have many of your time, but I think you said honesty with leadership is a trait that you love, and that's what I loved about you. I mean, you get the jokes about he's a pretty boy, he's this and that. Yeah. But
my hair.
It's getting a little gray, but when I got to know you, I knew that you're a real guy. And I remember the 2000, it was 9 or 10 Grey Cup, and you were addressing the riders at the media luncheon, and I'm sure you've heard me tell this story, but you have the Grey Cup on that podium, right? You're talking to the team, and you're like, guys, I'm so happy you're here because Grey Cups are better when the Riders are here. And I'm like, oh, Mark, you can't say that. And the media's in the back of the room. Nobody said a word. Nobody bitched about that. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. I mean, you were just putting it out there. That's the way I remember it anyways.
Hey, and by the way, I named my dog Ryder. Not in much trouble back then. But listen, I guess I can't remember how many times. I think they were in the Grey Cup four times, maybe in my tenure when I was there. And it always was fun because, as you know, the community rallies around it. And, you know, I'm excited. I'm coming back to not to Regina, but Saskatoon in a month because I also chaired the Junos, and the Junos are going to be in Saskatoon. So it's going to be a great party on March 15th there. And it reminds me of a mini Grey Cup as well.
You know, the other thing, so I guess we kind of talked about what you're proudest of. You said the Ottawa thing, but yet you kind of brushed over the stadium renaissance. That's no small thing either, Mark. I mean, when you turn on the television and you watch games out of these stadiums, it's a big time feel. And when you came in, that wasn't the case. We were playing in dumps. So was that? Well, Nick's got some thoughts on that. Nick, what do you think about it's that? Huge. Would be part of his legacy.
It's huge. Yeah. I mean, we remember the old stadiums that we had to play in those locker rooms, the Hamilton Stadium, especially. Like,
it was a jail.
Yeah. It was like you're in a dungeon. There was no, especially when you played there in the summer and there's no AC. You just got the door open. And it was pretty bad, man. I appreciate you for that.
Years on it. And they had Belly walking into other locker rooms too. But I agree. Like, if I think about it, a lot of my time was spent with the teams and with governments pitching them on stadiums. Whether, you know, I think about BC renovation, Edmonton improved their seating when I was there. Obviously, what happened in Saskatchewan and Winnipeg, Hamilton. You know, I remember sitting down with Premier McGuinty and helping get the final $25 million over the goal line. Montreal refurbishing their stadium. So. You're right. That was a big part of my tenure and my legacy. But I would say that's also part of, you know, pitching that the governments believed in us and where the league was going. And that was part of the story. So thank you on that.
How do you like the Juno bit?
Oh, it's fun. You know, it was interesting. I don't know if you remember Phil King. He used to run TSN. I left as commissioner, Phil was on the board of the Junos, and they were looking for a new chairman. And Phil called me and said, Mark, you know, the Junos are, for the music industry, what the Grey Cup is for the CFL. So we can learn so much from you. And it's been a fun run. This will be my fifth Junos. And I'm the chair. I'm not the CEO. So that has been a lot of fun. And as I said, next year is the 50th in Toronto, but Saskatchewan and Saskatoon is going to be a lot of fun. We got a great lineup. Jan Arden is going into the Hall of Fame. We got some young artists. We got the Glorious Sons. Sheepdogs are doing an opening concert for us. So some local boys. So that's going to be great. But I also, as I was joking with Nick, I'm part owner of a spirits company. We have a product called Georgian Bay Gin Smash. This year in Canada, but mostly in Ontario, we sold 14 million cans. Wow. And we're launching in Saskatchewan this year. So hopefully I'll come out and, you know, people will put the pill down and they'll drink some Gin Smash.
Hey, you let me know. I'll be there and I'll support you. I'll put it out to all my people. Because most of my people drink.
We'll take a fan question. Jason in Red Deer's watching. He says, can you please ask Mark what his thoughts are on the oddball rules in the XFL and if he thinks similar rules would be good for the CFL?
you know, it's hard for me to call. I haven't watched all the rules, but I will tell you, they approached me about becoming commissioner of that league, and I was like, you know what, I had such a fun run to the CFL, I'll leave on a high note. But, you know, I guess the question for me is, so I can't comment, I haven't watched any of the games, I haven't seen all the rules. My question for me is, you know, how is this going to impact the CFL with other players? Have teams started to see that yet?
We're going to find out once this XFL season's over. And I'm sure there, you know, players are going to come up here from the XFL. And I think in 2021, we will see some of these rule adjustments. Actually, not just in the CFL, I think in the NFL too, like that kickoff rule.
Yeah. I think the kickoff rule is the most important.
You want to explain to Mark what they're doing with the kickoff? You're the football guy.
So basically, they're kicking off from their own 25 yard line. The kick has to go between the 20 and the end zones. And it's automatic return, but the returners, the kicking team lines up at the 35, and the
at the blocking team plus 35.
The plus 35, and the blocking team lines up 5 yards in front of them. So it takes out the whole long run, and it's basically everybody still across from each other, and once the returner catches the ball, everybody can move. So it just turns into almost like a punt return where everybody's
already, they're only 10 yards apart.
Yeah, it's 5 yards.
Is it 5 yards? Yeah. So there's minimal collisions.
Man, what's the run back been like?
It's been good. I mean, they've been getting it out to about the 35, 40, because, I mean, really there's no second line, right? Because everybody's usually about 20 yards from the returner when he catches it, lined up across the field. So there's really not a, you know, no secondary line. So once you make it through,
you're gone.
Good.
But I don't think there's been a return touchdown.
No, there hasn't been a return touchdown.
No, it hasn't been.
Been a lot of good returns out to the 40 and midfield. So,
well, main thing, there's been no injuries.
No injuries.
So that's the reason they do it. Yeah. Mark, just before we let you go, you know, you talked about leaving on a high. I mean, when the news came down that you were leaving, I was stunned, a little disappointed. But I guess it is the Seinfeld thing of leave them wanting more. So no regrets leaving when you did?
No, it was, you know, for me, it was the right time. It was almost 8 years. It was two terms. You know, I love the league, and it's such an important part, and it plays in, you know, in my heart. Having that opportunity to serve Canada, you know, be a fan and be at the table for so many important decisions was great. You know, the important thing for me more than ever is the ongoing legacy. And I know the league, after I let it, had some challenges. You know, I have trust in Randy. I think his playbook is strong. And we just got to keep on building. And that's the most important thing, that people have to continue to rally around a league that means so much to so many people.
Good stuff, Mark. Well, good to see that you're doing so great. And maybe we'll see you in Saskatoon at the Junos. And I really appreciate the time here this morning.
Thanks, guys. Nice seeing you.
Thanks, Mike.
Mark Cohan, the former commissioner of the Canadian Football League. They say between he and Jake Goddard, the two best and most popular commissioners ever. And that was early 80s, right, Frenzy? I don't really know.
That's right.
Why was Goddard so...
Ex-player, came in, did a great job in the 30 years he was there. Player, he knew all of what's like to be in the field, eh? And general manager of the Ticats, and he took over as commissioner of the league. So he knew the league inside out. And he did some great things.
Yeah, but they don't. But Larry Smith and Randy Ambrosi both played in the league, and nobody's saying that about them. So it's not just that you played.
No.
And I'm sure there are more.
But there are a lot of things. I got to think what Dunlop did, or what he did. Just made things happen.
Right.
It made things happen. Instead of talking about it, made things happen.
Might have been one of the problems for Jeffrey Orge was following Mark Cohan, too.
Right, right.
Yeah. What do they always say? You don't want to be the guy after the guy?
No.
You want to be the guy after the guy after the guy?
Right.
Anyways, Kim Murphy coming up on the program today, Keon Raymond, and the three of us opening it up with viewer questions and comments when we return. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Friday morning on Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it, nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sorry if that went out over the air.
Oh, boy.
We're just... Kim Murphy, Keon Raymond coming up. I just got... I don't know why I'm upset. Yeah. You're the one that got fined.
Yeah, I had to woosah.
So I don't really remember you being fined, but I mean, I move on. I don't look back.
Coaches get fined, it doesn't get out.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, but when you played... You said Kohan fined you all the time.
No, he fined me a couple times, I think, but I don't even remember back then.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but you said you just got fined last year by Randy Ambrosi. You go ahead and tell that story, and then I'll tell why I'm so upset about all that.
Well, it just came down to I sent out a tweeting the CFL, asking them what was the difference between two plays that happened in back-to-back games. And because I saw it as similar, right? You throw a challenge flag or call a timeout. It's a very similar thing. So I just asked what the difference was. And then the fans replied that the refs suck and all this other stuff. So they decided to fine me a week later, saying that I enticed the fans to be negative towards the league.
Boy, that's getting pretty scary, eh?
And that's really scary to me.
But see, my whole thing is my relationship on Twitter. I used to live tweet games the year I took off. I've always talked to fans during games, and I've always had that communication. I don't think that I was intently bringing negativity to the league.
You were asking a question.
I was asking a question. Like, I literally just put out there, at CFL, what's the difference between these two plays? And as a coach, we need to know what we need to do if we're in that situation. Do we throw the challenge flag and it's going to be honored, or do we just call timeout? And will you go back and honor it? Or were they wrong in a situation?
Oh. And then they just fine you.
Well, they said I should have emailed in, because apparently if you email in, then you can say whatever you want to say, but nobody ever knows about it. They'll respond to you. But on Twitter or any other post social media, I guess it brings negativity. So
they're part very sensitive, eh?
Yeah. Part of it was my... I would say ignorance, because I've always communicated through social media as a player for so long. And, it was a learning lesson.
Did you get an answer?
No, not really. I mean, we went back and forth a couple times, and I was just like, how can I communicate with the fans? Always, somebody's always going to respond negative. No matter what I say, somebody's always going to say something negative. So basically you're saying I can't even comment on the game that I'm watching, because if somebody says something negative... then that means I've enticed him.
And that's why things have changed. And Lynch keeps, we argue every week in my car when I'm driving him up here. He doesn't understand why I'm not breaking my leg to get back into a play-by-play role and get back on the side of a team. And I'm like, because for 30 years, I was more near the end, was getting this, you can't make us look bad. And I'm like, I can't help you when you make you look bad. So don't come at me. And that's what it's become now in sport. And I don't want any part of that. This is a lot easier where you can at least say, because they're more sensitive now than they've ever been. And I don't know why that is.
The Stamps.
Cohan never was.
No. The Stamps hired Mike Petrie because of that, right? Because I remember the first day of training camp in 2007, he put out an article, the head coach of the Calgary Stampeders in 2008 will be John Huffnagle.
Broke the story.
This is the opening day of 2007.
Yeah.
So everybody, all the players are looking at Higgins like,
you're done.
You're done. You're done, Higgins. Yeah.
2008, Mike Petrie was a member of the Calgary Stampeders.
Yeah. Bring him on side.
If we can't stop him, like, we might as well.
If you can't beat him, join him.
Yeah.
If you can't beat him, sign him.
We know from our experiences in this city, he and I personally, they're extremely sensitive. And if they get beat badly, you can't say that. And that really bothers me. You got to lie.
There's a lot of sensitivity. I mean, even with fans and you talk about the XFL stuff, it brings in sensitivity because I don't think people want to be rational about the situation. Like, you see these guys going down and, I mean, let's call a spade. If Bo Levi Mitchell goes to the XFL, it's going to really hurt the CFL. They're paying top quarterbacks between up to $600,000 U.S. There's no quarterback in the CFL making that.
No.
Right? And I blame it on, like, the PA stuff because there hasn't been a growth. What's the long-term plan of growth so that the owners can start making money, so the players can start making more money? I mean, right now it just seems like the model's broke. And until there's growth, I mean, this, you have to fear this.
Well, this is what I don't get. The one thing about Mark Cohan's era, and there was a comment in here that we could do 2 hours with Mark Cohan. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I know that he had a very strong team behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a secure guy that does that.
Yeah.
It's not an instant. I'm not saying Randy Ambrosi doesn't. I don't know the people that are behind Randy Ambrosi, not to the degree that I knew Mark Cohan's people. The secure people surround themselves with strong people. The insecure people surround themselves with inferior people.
Exactly.
So that they're not challenged. And again, I'm not saying what's going on in the CFL office right now because I don't know. But I just look back at that Cohan era. The stadiums were full. The stadium renaissance, as he said, it was a great time. Sponsors were getting on board because they believed in the direction of the CFL. And I just think Randy Ambrosi, what's he in now, going into year 3 or 4?
Yeah, three, I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Jeffrey Orridge came in and maybe inherited more problems than we even knew. That's very possible. I don't really know, but he didn't help things.
No.
So I think when Randy Ambrosi came in after 2 years of the Orridge regime and he was dumped with a year left on his contract, Randy had a really big mess to clean up.
Yeah.
But now we're 3-4 years in going, Randy, this is now your show.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Of course.
And with the XFL as a perceived threat, this is what I think about this kind of stuff all the time, where business meets sport and they intersect. You'd rather just snuff out the competition than make yourself better.
Yep.
Because the XFL might be the best thing for the CFL, but nobody in Canada wants to look at it that way.
Oh, of course. I mean, you have to compete. And you have to grow. And, I mean, that's the part of it. I've seen fans say, oh, well, it's just S.J. Green. Nobody's going to miss him. And then Derek Dennis goes and Armonte Edwards goes. And then it's like, okay, well, maybe nobody offered them contracts. Well, I know for a fact there was contracts offered to two of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I know for a fact they took going there. And, I mean, S.J. wanted to play in Tampa anyway. He's from Tampa. He lives in Tampa.
Makes a lot of sense.
It's a lot of stress. You're away from your family 6 months. You come up here. You love the game. You love the people. You love all these things, but you're really paying two mortgages, right? I remember I was paying $1,500 U.S. mortgage, and I was paying $2,000 in Calgary. So when you look at that, I'm paying $4,000 a month.
And you were making good money.
Yeah, but I'm still paying $4,000 a month just to play, just to pay those two mortgages. So at the end of the day, it does take a lot of strength.
I think this XFL guys, let's be realistic, is going to come after the season's over and raid the CFL very strongly, very big time, and go after some top stars.
Oh, of course.
After the first week, five games with crowds of 17-5, 17-6, 17-7. Seattle last Sunday.
31 plus.
At 29,782, a sellout.
Yeah.
Tressman's team down there, and they played well. And that's what they're looking for. But that was a lot of promotion and giveaways, as you know, Nick. But still, they had that crowd. They had the people in the stadium. That's what they want to do. They believe if once they get the people in the stadium and see what kind of the product they got there, they'll come back. There'll be no problem. But it'll be interesting to see in 3 weeks the teams that are 0-5, how they're drawing at home.
Yep.
Tom Geiger writes in. He says, I love this segment. Nick gets it. Grow the league and real talk is a great thing for any sport. I absolutely think so. Wayne in Victoria, BC says, yes, Rod, the CFL has to improve to show they can compete with the XFL. And one of our female viewers wrote in and said, there isn't one quarterback in the XFL as good as Bo Levi Mitchell. You're probably right. I haven't watched enough of the games to say that's true. But you know what that tells me then? The XFL maybe goes after Bo Levi Mitchell.
Yeah,
still not 30.
Sure.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, if you don't grow it, the players are going to go where they can make money and enjoy what they're doing. I mean, for a quarterback to make $600,000 in 3 months, right? They know that, and SJ's not getting paid your minimum. He's not getting paid the 55. He's making six figures in the XFL, USD. So, I mean, it's one of those things where you can't be afraid of growth, and you have to continue to grow, because when leagues come across like this, of course, they're going to try to get people. I mean, that's their job, is to try to take talent and try to be one of the best leagues. And right now, Vince McMahon said he is okay with losing $375 million in the first 3 years. That means the league's not going anywhere for at least 3 years.
Exactly.
And I promise you, in year three, if not by year two, you're going to get a lot of guys going down because the pay is going to start going up even more. Right. And like I said, what quarterback in the CFL can make $600 USD?
The best quarterback they have right now in that league, from what I've seen, is P.K. Williams, graduate of Temple, with the Roughnecks out of Houston. And he is terrific.
Yes,
his
he is.
Release is unbelievable. How he quickly can get rid of that football, and he can run. He'd be sensational in this league. And he was, for 3 years, on the negotiation list of the Ottawa Redblacks, as you know. And after he got cut by the Giants this year, Ottawa thought for sure they had him. Didn't turn out that way. He's sensational. His release is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's great.
Well, the thing that I love the most, as I've said many times, in my past role, I was pro-management and pro-ownership. In this role now on this show, I'm pro-player and pro-coach, and I love it way more on this side. Because you're not being told what to say, for one. And for two, guys like Paul LaPolice and Jamie Elizondo, who were refused to interview for the Saskatchewan job here last year, where does Elizondo go? Boop, to the XFL, and he's happy.
Yeah.
And LaPolice ends up in Ottawa, but I don't like the fact that they got you under the thumb.
Yeah.
And then it's the same thing now with players, too. That part I love on behalf of the players and the coaches. And furthermore, I don't really get what the fans see, but maybe you can help us out with this, Nick. Like, Thad Coleman comes on here and says he doesn't get a contract that he wants. Derek Dennis would be very similar. He didn't say that, but we all know that's true. And so they're going to go to the XFL, Derek for sure, maybe Thad, and they say it's not about the money. Well, I had people writing in on Twitter saying, well, if it's not about the money, why doesn't he sign in the CFL? Folks, in the CFL, it's a 20-week commitment during the regular season, a month-long during training camp and preseason. So you're playing for whatever it is, for Americans, you're playing for Canadian dollars with the exchange for 6 month commitment, whereas the XFL is a 10-week commitment.
Yep.
And you're not losing the money with the exchange.
Yeah, losing 30-35% every time you cross the border.
Right, and it's a 10-week commitment versus a 6-month commitment. Big change, and I don't see how the fans don't see that, but it doesn't seem like they do see that.
Well, I think what happened was last year with the negotiations, some GMs planned on the salary cap because of word around it was going to go up $300,000 to $500,000. You're in training camp, you look at guys like Edmonton, signed all those big names for all those big contracts. GMs that's done their whole free agency expecting some kind of raise, not a $50,000, but some kind of significant raise, and nothing happened. So what does that leave you? That leaves you right now with a bunch of guys that are under contracts you can't really afford. So most guys last year were asked to take pay cuts during the season.
Oh, yeah.
Kenny Stafford gets traded. These are trades that are not because of he's not playing well. It's because they can't afford it. So now the salary cap is very high. It didn't move up but $50,000. You had the increase of the minimum go up $13,000. So everybody below that increases, and that's another $100,000 to $200,000 off the books. And now you have older guys that are just like, well, where's my contract? Oh, we can't pay you that. They just can't afford it under the certain certain salary cap right now. You can't afford to sign older guys to that $150,000 range.
And hence why those receivers are out of a job right now.
Exactly.
So, we want young guys, the CFL, what you're telling me, exactly what I thought. The CFL wants less expensive, let's use that word, young guys.
Well, it's not just that. I think with everybody thinking that it was going to be a huge raise in the salary cap last year, they just got themselves in a bad financial situation. And then how many guys signed last year are not on the same team this year?
75% of them.
All those big signings. You look at Micah Johnson. You look at Larry Dean and Don. You know, all these
Willie
big
Jefferson
signings.
Could have been.
Exactly. All these big signings that happened last year, team said, we can't afford it now. So now we have to restructure, figure out how we're going to do it. And a lot of those guys took pay cuts. And when you're a guy with 10,000 yards, future Hall of Famer like SJ, why take a $100,000 pay cut when you can go play at home?
From the Rams alumni, Gary Chop Bresh writes in, Chopper says, players have to take some responsibility in growing the league. That means making Canada home while playing. I don't agree with that. They can do with whatever they want. I believe it was Roy Shivers that told me, and this might have changed because it's been a day or two since I talked to Shiv, but there was 3,000 to 3,500 players coming out of NCAA every single year. So the players are literally a dime a dozen. They've been the pawns in all of this for so long, and now it's coming home to roost, and the players have a little more leverage on their own side.
Do you think, though?
But so why do they have a responsibility? Basically, is what I'm saying, is they've been getting screwed over, really, for 100 years.
You know, one of the things, though, to respond to that, we work on work visas. You don't have a work visa, you can't be. Why be here if I can't work? Right? The Canadian-born players can get jobs outside of football. A lot of the work visas, the teams will not pay to have an open work visa. So therefore, you can only play football. You can't do anything outside of football. So you want Americans to come up here, live here, and not have any financial, you can't get credit, you can't work. So basically, you're just stuck here doing what? And we already know that a lot of guys can't afford to not work in the offseason. So
I'm glad you answered that.
Well, that comes from it, that the CFL isn't realizing what's going on. That's what I'm afraid of.
No.
I'm afraid after the next 2 years are going to be very critical for the CFL, this year and next year. And I wonder what's going to be like 2022, what our lineups are going to look like. A bunch of new guys and just young kids. And they say, well, if they're a notch below the usual player, the usual Americans you get, they'll all be even. All the teams will be the same way. And so the fans will still come.
Who are these XFL guys? We don't know who they are. We're watching.
A lot of disrespect.
America's watching.
For the fans. I think a lot of disrespect for the players and for the fans.
But you see the inconsistency in XFL right now, right? If you start going to CFL games and you start seeing 8 to 10 drops a game and the quality of football starts going down, fans are going to stop watching. I mean, the two things I've always said is the league hasn't really grown since I've been here. I mean, you still make the same Grey Cup check that they made 20 years ago.
That's bad.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The practice roster is one up $300. Training camp salaries are the same. You know, you're $500 a week or whatever it is. And they've never targeted the younger generation, right? I've always put out, I've talked to the commissioner about, I said I wanted to get a group of players and travel on a bus from Vancouver all the way east, stopping and doing charity work in every city or, like, you know, the major cities, but also cities surrounding it. People support who they know. Let's get out there and do it. They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to put money into it. They didn't want to have it be anything to help grow the league. I mean, I personally said it. I said I would go and train the East and the West, build a team that would train the players coming out of college so they're better ready for the CFL draft. Because they don't get a lot of draft training. And then I watch it, and it's not very good. Like, let's help the players. Let's get more notoriety to college players. Let's get more notoriety to the players.
They couldn't agree more. John, hang on. We need to break. We're out of time for hour one. Coming up in hour two, Kim Murphy, the recently retired CFL ref, and Keon Raymond running for the presidency of the CFL Players Association. I know he's got some things that he'd like to discuss. That's all coming up in hour two. Football Friday here, everybody, on the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Impala. Its Capital GM buyback resale event price is only $21,215 plus tax. That's half price from its original MSRP. Or upgrade to the certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia for just $31,882 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Canada's largest certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
A man's personality and character is exuded through his haircut. Your image is important. Our high-end services range from a traditional haircut and shave to gray blending, beard shaping, and unwanted hair removal. Located at 425 Victoria Avenue East, book your appointment online now at modernmen.ca or call Tammy 306-522-4111. Modern Men, a haircut for the modern man.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.